It's time!
You guys silly? I'm still gonna send it.
Hello and welcome everybody to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's Half Athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them, cover them. I do all I can with sports. Joining me in studio, he is the only athlete left on staff here at Half Athlete Radio. He's a tight end for the PLU football team. He wears number 87. His name is DJ Winter. DJ, how are you? How was your week? What have you been up to since the last time we talked?
You know what? It's game week, so I'm ready to go. Feeling excited for this show, excited for the game this Saturday, and just, you know, getting through the week, heading into Saturday, so excited.
Yeah, you mentioned it's game week. You guys have gone a total of now 3 weeks without playing a football game.
Yes, and the time's gone by quicker than I thought. Like, looking back, it seems like just yesterday we had just gotten the news about Warner, and it seemed like an eternity to go. But the time has really flown by, and I've made use of my time, and my preparation will hopefully show on Saturday.
Again, Warner is a team out of Florida, and Hurricane Irma blew through Florida and kind of shut down that entire area, and Warner wasn't able to come up and play you guys 2 weeks ago, and then the following week, after the week that the game got canceled, that was your original bye week.
Yes.
And now we're waiting all the way until Saturday. And who you have Saturday?
University of Puget Sound. By the way, it's blackout to stands, so if...
Man, I didn't even know that.
I know. If any of you are fortunate enough to come, remember to wear black.
That's a good reminder. That's a fun home opener to have, too, against Puget Sound.
Yes, it is.
Over there at Sparks Stadium. All right. Also joining us, he's new to the show. He is a fellow half athlete like myself. His name is Seth Bershing. Seth, how have you been? What have you been up to?
I've been up to a lot of homework, Christian. Semester's getting underway, and you know the professors are to that point where they're not holding back anymore, laying the homework loads on us. But hanging in there.
Hanging in there. What'd you do over the weekend? Anything cool?
No, just work.
Man, that's too bad.
Christian, how are you? I mean, I know we don't usually get to ask you that, but how are you?
Oh,
what'd you
man,
do over the weekend?
I am great. Over the weekend, I was here on campus. I am the lead on all POU home soccer matches, so I've watched more soccer this year already in about 4 weeks than I have in my entire life. Let's see, what day was it? Saturday, the POU men were at home, and on Saturday they played a game against Whitworth, and it was ridiculously physical. It was, the referee kind of had no control over what was going on. I mean, both teams had a penalty kick. Both teams missed a penalty kick. It went the distance. It went the full, you know,
90 minutes.
Full 90 minutes and then some. It actually went through two overtimes, and it ended in a 1-1 tie. So that was, it wasn't frustrating, but it was fun to watch because of the physicality and the intensity that was on display on East Field on Saturday.
And then I know you had a broadcasting thing on Friday. You got to
going back to Friday
broadcast
night,
a pretty exciting game.
Yeah, Graham Kapowson and Sumner. That was a 6-point game by the time it was all said and done. Graham Kapowson 34, Sumner 28, I believe, was the final score of that
28.
One. That was a fun one to do. You can check out the highlights on Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. And then, Saturday night I went to the fair. My dad actually had his second hip surgery done on September 11th. So to bust him out of the house was a success. Had him walk around with a cane for a little bit. That was fun to go do. And then Sunday, kind of another soccer match, and POU lost 2-0, but it was kind of I thought it was a result of, like I said the day before, the physicality that was on display. And that was my weekend. Now we're here doing a radio show.
Nice. Sounds eventful.
Yeah. Yeah, plenty of things going on. I want to remind you who are listening right now that if you want to relive this show or any show from the past, you could do it at mastmedia.pou.edu and check out our full podcast there. Like I already mentioned, Half Athlete Radio clips from the show are on YouTube. Go to YouTube, type in Half Athlete Radio, find us there. And we want to hear from our listeners all day long. We want to hear on any subject you want to talk about. The big question today, Seattle Seahawks lost over the weekend over there in Tennessee. 33-27, I believe, was the score. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, it was.
So we want to know from you, what went wrong in that game for the Seattle Seahawks? I mean, there's plenty of angles you can go. We want to know what you think. So call us 253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332. All right, so I want to get to kind of a topic that in the past I've avoided on this show because I feel personally that sports are an outlet for people to sit back, relax, and be entertained. And that's what we are, essentially.
Absolutely.
There is, you know, the president of the United States has been divisive. There's a lot of division throughout the country right now. And he threw himself into the sports realm over the weekend on Friday. And right now we're going to take a listen to his comments that got a lot of people fired up.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired.
Again, those comments took place at a rally in Alabama on a Friday night. It was something that kind of rang throughout the sports world. Kind of it upset several different people, and it's just a head scratcher. And I want to get, you know, your thoughts on his word choice. Why do you think a person in his position would say something like that? I mean, it's a baffling situation that we can only figure out through conversation across the board on any of the topics going on right now. So let's get started. So, you know, give your thoughts on it.
Seth, you want to go first?
I wish that the president would stay out of sports because, like you said, Christian, sports is an outlet. I think a lot of people turn to sports and enjoy sports because it's not political, it's not real world, and that's what it's become in this last week with what's been said and the players kneeling for the anthem. I think you obviously can't go back and undo it, but I mean, we can have good discussion about this now. I think more than ever now, with the increase in protest, now we just need to start the discussion. We've seen that people want some things to change, but it's just a matter of having that discussion now.
DJ.
I agree with Seth on this one. I think the president should just stay out of sports because, like you said, Christian, it is a good outlet for people. And with him speaking out against the NFL, I know that there have been guys taking a knee during the national anthem for the past 2 years now. And I feel like some of those guys, you know, some of the other guys that haven't been taking knee, they've been right on the edge, you know, of thinking what is the best way. Because, I mean, there has been a lot of discussion about the inequality here in the United States of America, and they have been wondering what is the right way to approach this, to get their message out. And Trump really, you know, I don't feel like he attacked just the players who were protesting. He put, when you attack like those players who were taking a knee, that attacks pretty much the whole team because you're a team, you're in unity, and in the locker room, the whole group of people, I feel like, felt attacked by those comments. And so it pushed everybody to protest, not just the guys who were before. It pushed everybody to protest this weekend, and as a result, we saw the ratings fall. Now,
right. Yeah. I want to mention, you know, you'd mentioned he's not just going towards those individuals who are doing so, but he went after the team and the
fans,
the league. He went after the entire league by saying what he said. I have been under the thought that no one who is there's a deeper reason. Yes. Why he would say something like that. My thought has been all weekend that no one who is surrounded by so many smart people, in theory smart people, gets to act and say things that are that dumb.
And you brought up the point that it could be tried to raise an attempt to try and raise the ratings.
I thought it was an attempt to raise the stock. I thought there was a, you know, maybe a handshake behind. I mean, could be crazy of me to think this way, but there, I thought there could be a handshake behind, you know, closed doors that, hey, I'll mention you and this will happen because of this. We looked up the numbers before the show went on the air, and ratings fell by 4% again this week.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is people are consuming the NFL in different ways. People are consuming everything in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But the NFL is this country's most popular league. The president said something negative, extremely negative, about mm-hmm. those involved with the league, and the ratings fell again.
Mm-hmm. With vulgarity, too.
That kind of blows my theory out of the water.
Mm-hmm. And I think... there were multiple people, even Tom Brady, who has been supportive of Trump in the past, that came out and said that his remarks were like terrible and not, you know, in the need, not needed at this moment. And so I think that's another thing that kind of shoots your theory down. But I mean, it is something to think about. As for, you know, the protests that have been going on, something I would like to see is, yes, these guys are protesting, but what I want to see is what are they doing in their community? Are they starting groups or things like that? They're definitely starting a conversation, which is good, but what I want to see going forward is how these players that have been protesting the past 2 years, how are they trying to change this idea and this culture that we have of discriminating towards the African American community right now, and multiple veterans have come out and said that on both sides. They've said yes, they've been upset that they have been disrespecting the flag like this, and yes, they have been in support of these players that have been protesting.
I think an indirect outcome from President Trump's comments on Friday is that there's a better understanding for what is being protested.
Yeah.
People have been forced to talk about, you know, why they are doing the things they are doing.
Yes.
And, you know,
now there just needs, you know, there needs to be action.
Does need to be action, but I think that the Dallas Cowboys benefited from getting to see everything that happened on Sunday. They made their gesture before the national anthem happened.
Yes.
When they linked arms, owner and all, owner, coaches, players, all linked arms, took a knee together and stood back up well before the national anthem was played. And I think we're getting to a point where, from what the comments that were made, there's a better understanding for what is being protested,
mm-hmm.
which I think could, you know, long-term be positive
mm-hmm.
from
yeah.
the comments.
I think that with the protests being so prominent now, it's all the headlines in the sports world. Everybody knows what it's about, the players. I think now it's less about kneeling for the anthem than it is having that discussion. I think the players need to use the power that they have, being in the role that they have, speak up during the press conferences. They have that ability. They can get the discussion going. They can get people to listen to them. They have the power and the position to do that.
And there is now a group of players that have sent a letter into the NFL wanting, we have the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, the Military Appreciation Month or Week or whatever it is, and they sent in a letter to the NFL to ask for a month of Equality Month or something along those lines, to where we recognize the minorities in this country, and you know people like that, and really show our appreciation for them.
Right, I think, you know, like I said, I think the positive you can take from it is that, for the most part, there could be a better understanding for what those players who have been trying to bring awareness to equality and racial issues. There's a better understanding for what they are doing now, and that might be, you know, the best takeaway we can kind of take from the comments made on Friday, and be aware of that and do what we can to help that situation moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's time to take a short break. When we come back, the Seattle Mariners officially died over the weekend. They are mathematically eliminated.
Yep.
We'll talk about their season again as a whole. Maybe a couple things we're excited about moving forward. Maybe a couple things we're not excited about moving forward. So don't go anywhere. It's Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air student radio.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's Half Athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them, cover them, talk about them on the radio. I do all I can with sports. Joining me in studio, the only athlete left on staff here at Half Athlete Radio. His name is DJ Winter. DJ is a member of the POU football team.
Yep.
And joining me, our new co-host. See how long it takes for me to stop calling him new. Fellow half athlete like myself, his name is Seth Bershing.
Glad to be here.
If you want to relive this show, relive what we just talked about, you can do it by going to mastmedia.pou.edu. Check out full versions of the podcast there. We're in a little bit of a different place this year. We're over underneath sports. Scroll down to sports podcasts, and that's where you can find episodes of this show and all the other shows that are on Laser this semester. If you want to check out clips of the show, if that's more your style, if you're driving somewhere, you hook up the Bluetooth to your car. I mean, that's how I do it. You can go to YouTube, type in Half Athlete Radio. You can find just about everything we've ever done over there on YouTube. A couple of video segments as well. The Half Athlete Try stuff we did last year. It's pretty funny stuff, if I do say so myself. So check it out. If you want to call into the show and talk Mariners, talk Seahawks, talk whatever you'd like to talk, you can do that. Dial 253-535-7332. Again, it's 253-535-7332. So let's jump into it. Let's talk about the Seattle Mariners. I believe they died on Saturday or Sunday.
Yep.
Their season is done. They are mathematically eliminated. A couple more games left for them to finish out in the year, but it doesn't matter because they're done. So let's talk about it. Let's go around the room. What kind of disappointed you the most about the 2017 season for your Seattle Mariners?
Well, I said it last week, Christian, but I'll say it again. The opportunity that they missed this year with the AL really only having four good teams, it was wide open all season long for the Mariners to take that other wild card spot, and it just never really materialized. They never got over that 500 hump.
I would agree with you. I do love that second wild card, though. It's a lot of fun. It creates a lot of hope for, like you said, teams that might not be that good. DJ, what are you most disappointed in?
I think Seth brought up a good point about the whole AL was wide open this year, and it was disappointing because you really felt like we had a chance all the way up until the end,
right?
Until this very last weekend. I've heard the Mariners be called a training camp team, something that just gets us to training camp, and they did their job this year. I would say the most disappointing thing is just all the injuries, the plethora of them, especially to the starting pitching. I really felt like we had a pretty strong starting staff heading into the season, but our depth was tested, and we did a fairly good job, but that was probably the most disappointing thing to me. I was really excited to see what the starting staff could do, and they did not live up to their expectations.
I think I'll lean your way in the what I'm most disappointed in. In February, I wrote something on my blog entitled Pray for Pitching with the Seattle Mariners logo next to it. It was kind of predictable. On paper, really good starting five.
Uh-huh.
But with Felix Hernandez coming off an injury, James Paxton never proving to be healthy, Hisashi Iwakuma failing a physical when he was going to sign with the Dodgers 2 years or 3 years ago, whatever that was, and Yovani Gallardo at the end of his career. I mean, they were hyping him up. The PR staff in the Mariners organization were doing a great job of selling this Mariners staff to a lot of different people, but it was almost, unfortunately, apparent that they had the potential to struggle with injury or with performance, and they struggled with both. We make the joke about the Mariners dying this last weekend. In my humble opinion, they died, and what I am most disappointed in, they died when they got swept by the Angels over Edgar Martinez weekend.
Yes.
I'd agree with that.
Four-game series at home, very much in the wild card race, and they lost four games to, at the time, not a lot of people believed in the Angels. They've made improvements to their team since then, and they're going to be right there in the hunt.
Wasn't Trout even out that weekend?
Trout, I don't know if he was out.
I think he was just coming back.
Might be where he was at.
Off the DL.
But, you know, Safeco Field was packed all weekend long, and that team went out there and stunk. And that was it.
They had a chance that weekend to prove that they were still going to be in this hunt, especially with everybody coming out to Safeco Field. And that, for me, I couldn't agree more, Christian, with that was the weekend that I kind of lost my hope. Football was right around the corner.
Right.
And that could have been a reason to keep up with the Mariners. And so, I mean, that's perfectly what said.
That's where I'm going with where I am most disappointed in this team. All right, so we get to look forward, and it might be something we talk about, you know, every couple weeks here on the show. But Seth, I want you to start off with, you know, maybe what you're most excited for moving forward, or what you're happy the most with at this time with this organization.
The lineup was pretty good for most of the season, and you know Jerry DePoto's going to make a lot of moves in the offseason. He always does. I'm sure he's got something up his sleeve already. He's probably on the phone already trying to make a trade for somebody somewhere. So I think the lineup will be good, and if he can work a deal for another starting pitcher, preferably one who does not have an injury history, then that can get us started into hopefully a good offseason.
I think baseball off seasons are one of the most exciting in all of professional sports. There's so, even like the trade deadline at in the MLB is one of the most exciting times, because there's so many moving parts. There's so many changes. It just, you know, it keeps things interesting. It keeps things exciting. For me, I agree with Seth. You know, we're going to have to go with a starting pitching route. There's a couple of names out there that kind of intrigue me. Not really, you know, to boost the top of your staff, but, you know, just to strengthen it in numbers. One of them is Andrew Kashner. He was 10-11 this year with a 3.42 ERA. He threw 27 games, so, you know, almost pretty much a full season. I think he had one DL stint. The next one is Matt Moore. He was 6-15 with a 5.52 ERA, so kind of struggled for the Giants. But the Giants in general struggled as a whole. I think he can just he pitched in 32 games, so he's somebody that can come in there and eat up innings, which is what the Mariners need to add some depth. And then the last one is Tyson Ross. I know he got let go by the Rangers, but he proved the year before in San Diego that he was a quality quality pitcher. I knew he came off the DL like mid-season, so, you know, his durability can be questioned a little bit. But I think those three guys are three targets that are entering free agency to where we can add depth to that starting rotation.
I think where I'm going to go with where I'm most maybe excited or pleased with moving forward is going to be the outfield as a whole. If Mitch Haniger can stay healthy, he has a fantastic year in his rookie season. Ben Gamel proved that when he was hot, he was a really good hitter. And Guillermo Heredia plays incredible defense. So across the board, that Mariners outfield, and they're underneath control through 2023 for most of them. I mean, they are Mariners for that long. I'm going to go the opposite route, though, with you guys. I think that DePoto is going to make considerably less moves this time around. He's moved 185 players or something to that, like trades. He's moved that many players. He's finally got the roster tooled to where the guys that are in there are his guys, are the guys that he wants in those spots. I mean, who's left from the Jack Cerenzik regime? I mean, Mike Zunino,
Kyle Seager.
You're not getting rid of
people we have drafted or signed.
Just who's left in general, because he's moved so many players. I mean, you can count them on one hand between James Paxton, Mike Zunino, Kyle Seager, Robinson Cano, and Cruz. Nelson Cruz. You know, Felix Hernandez, six total. The rest of everybody pretty much has been brought in by Jerry DePoto. I don't think he's going to make nearly as many moves, because he's finally at a point where he's good.
And that's just something like new GMs do, because you got to add your spin onto a team. And that's what Schneider and Pete Carroll did when they first came in here. They completely overhauled the roster. So that's, you know, like I said, that's just something you got to do as a new GM. And I think I agree with you here. The more and more you move forward in a GM's tenure, the less and less moves you're going to see. But I would like to see them bolster their starting rotation.
There's no doubt they're going to have to do that. But yeah, well, they'll be interesting to follow regardless of what happens. So in the meantime, we got to take a short break. We're going to transition over to talk a little Seattle Seahawks football. They played the Tennessee Titans on Sunday, and they lost 33-27. There's a lot of different angles you can take about what went wrong. Don't forget, we want to hear from you, but we'll do that after the break. So don't go anywhere. This is Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I'm POU's Half Athlete, joined by a member of the POU football team. His name is DJ Winter.
Go Lutes.
Also joined by our new co-host, a fellow Half Athlete like myself. His name is Seth Bershing.
Yep.
Right now, we're going to talk a little Seattle Seahawks football. If you want to join in on the conversation, do it please at 253-535-7332. Again, it's 253-535-7332. 7332. If you want to check out full podcast of this show, you can do that by going to massmedia.pou.edu. We're underneath the sports tab this year, so go to the sports tab, go to sports podcast, and that's where you can find this show, as well as What's the Big Deal with Dylan Foreman, Zach Goff, and Sarah Cornell Meyer, as well as HNC Sports. That's Heine and Carson Barnett. They talk sports on Friday mornings as well. So that's where you can find all of those sports shows. If you want to check out our YouTube page, it's Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. Go ahead, go over there and subscribe. Help us get some better grades. More subscribers we get, the better grades we get. That's actually a fact. True word,
very,
guys.
Very
so
true.
So help us out. help me graduate this May. That's really what I'm after the most. So like I said, let's talk Seahawks football. I ran a poll Sunday evening that went into Monday evening after people had some time to digest what had happened when the Seattle Seahawks lost 33-27 to the Tennessee Titans, a game that, you know. Okay, I'm going to stop for a second. I had mentioned that this was like a random and rare matchup, and you kind of giggled at it. I think the last time, like mid-2000s was the last time the Seahawks had been in Tennessee.
So, oh, to been to Tennessee,
yeah,
or just played Tennessee?
Just played, I think, just
yeah,
at least
been
to Tennessee.
8 years ago.
Yeah.
So I think, was right. It was random and rare.
Been to Tennessee. They played Tennessee, though, I believe, Russell Wilson's rookie year.
That's still, what was that, 5 years ago
in
still?
Century League? Yeah.
Six. So five or six. It happens every so often, so people didn't really know what to expect out of this matchup.
Yeah.
And anyway, running this poll had, you know, a couple different options, offensive struggles, defensive struggles, discipline issues, or other. Other got a lot of votes, as well as discipline issues.
Did,
got a
did you ever
votes.
Get any responses to what that other could have been?
A couple different things. People were not pleased that the defense had to be on the field so often. So that is ultimately a result of, you know, they were tired. The Seahawks gave up 21 points in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think there's merit to that, but that would fall under offensive struggles for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was there's quite a few options, quite a few angles you can take. So I get us started, guys. Where are you going with this?
I like the discipline take that you mentioned, Christian. I didn't see all the game. I saw a good portion of it, though, and a couple plays that really stood out to me was in the first quarter, Sherman made a pass interference play on Cam Chancellor's interception to take that away. Then he held a guy on the return. And then he got a personal foul after the play was over. Three penalties, one play.
That's a lot of problems.
There was another play, same quarter. The O-line made three penalties, one play.
more problems, more disciplinary problems.
Altogether, they gave up 6 first downs to the Titans on penalties, including one with about 15 seconds left in the game. Tennessee was about to punt. We went off sides, gave them a first down so they could kneel it for the win. You can't make that up.
Yeah, that's giving a game away for sure. Discipline issues abound. DJ, what do you got for us?
So, you know, I'm going to attribute this loss to defensive struggles. Week after week, we have said the offense is not producing, the offense is not producing. And what I said last week is we kind of, you know, even though they were struggling, we have to hold our judgment because the Hawks have always been late bloomers on the offensive side. The Hawks outgained the Titans 433 to 420 total yards. We put up 27 points, and usually that is enough. But the defense, the conditions wore on the defense, and Tennessee was a very physical team. That offensive line, I give them props because they took it to the front seven of the Hawks play after play. And as far as, you know, the discipline issues, I'm going to have to disagree with Seth here. Back in 2014, when we won our Super Bowl, we had Michael Bennett, who was offsides after offsides after offsides. And Sherman, I would even argue, talked more back then than he does now. Football is such a – it's a very emotional sport, and I would argue it's the most emotional sport out there. The guys are, if you do anything that you do on the football field in general public, you're gonna be put in jail for it. And there is so much raw emotion in football. The physicalness is just out of this world. And I completely understand where Sherman's coming from. He's always been I don't want to say a hothead, but he's always played with a lot of passion. He's gotten personal fouls before. I do think he could have been thrown out of the game, but props to the ref for letting him do his thing. But I don't think it falls to discipline. Pete Carroll has always been one of those coaches that a player's coach that kind of just lets his players play. And the Hawks have, year in and year out, that defense has played with an attitude. And they've played with effort. And I think that's what makes the Seahawks defense what they are today.
Call us and tell us what you think. 253-535-7332. We want to know what you think went wrong for the Seattle Seahawks in their loss against the Tennessee Titans last Sunday. Again, the number is 253-535-7332. DJ, you mentioned that Pete Carroll's a player's coach.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about discipline issues. I mean, it's kind of the environment that Pete Carroll has fostered in his time, you know, not only with Seattle, but in his USC days. I mean, people have gotten in trouble under Pete Carroll in college. Then he moved on to the NFL when the ship was sinking at USC. Now, you know, we've had Seattle Seahawks. You mentioned Richard Sherman, very much a hothead, kind of does whatever he wants verbally with the media. Michael Bennett,
Doug Baldwin,
Baldwin can kind of get off on a little bit of his own tangent. To their benefit or to their doubt. I mean, when it works well for them, it really does work. But at the same time, when you give up 6 first downs because penalties,
yeah,
I mean, that's an instance to me when, you know, your environment, your atmosphere of your team is maybe not worth it. Maybe needs to be rethunk a little bit, if that's even a word, rethunk. Seth, you got more thoughts on this?
And it hasn't just been this season. This isn't a new thing where the Seahawks are just making all these penalties. They're consistently at the top of the league in penalties each year. It's a culture thing. It's been that way under Pete Carroll in his whole tenure here.
And I think it plays in your favor sometimes, or it bites you in the butt sometimes. And that's the case for any system. You're going to have your positives and negatives of each system. But I would say a culture like that would be super fun to play with. They always talk about how fun it is, how full of, they're always, it seems to be full of energy. If you watch a practice during training camp or something like that, they're always, you know, full of energy. And they even talk about how the practices are harder than the games. And so that kind of culture could be, it can be really fun, but it, as a fan of the game, I can definitely see why it frustrates some people as well.
Even after the game, Cam Chancellor, you know, made a couple of comments that he didn't like the way that his teammates were acting. Mm-hmm. I mean, part of it you mentioned might be frustration from an interception being taken away from him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a few players on that team are, you know, kind of realized that, hey, we need to calm down and just play football rather than, you know, pick apart the media or, you know, this, that, or the other, focus energy in mm-hmm. places it doesn't need to be focused. And I don't know. It's now we're sitting three games in the season, looking at a Seahawks team that's 1-2.
Yeah. And with the reality of it, the Hawks, they're going to make the playoffs in the NFC West. I don't think.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm 100% positive. The NFC West is not good enough to where the Hawks are going to be dethroned, at least this year.
I'll give you the 49ers aren't good enough, but the Rams are a terrible matchup for the Seahawks. If the Rams beat the Seahawks twice.
Mm-hmm. And they have shown that in the past years. They have always, you know, snuck up on the Hawks and beat them, I think, at least once.
I don't think it can be sneaking up on them if they consistently do it.
Yeah.
If they consistently cause problems for the Seahawks, I don't know, Seth, if you have a couple thoughts on the Rams. The Rams are built to beat the Seahawks.
And even the Rams' strength is their D-line. I mean, they've got Aaron Donald, Robert Quinn down there. That's what they do well, and that matches up against the Seattle O-line. Of course, they're in the backfield every single play. Arizona's strength is their defense, too, especially their front seven. So I'm not ready to give up on the Seahawks yet. I agree with DJ. I think they're still going to win the NFC West, but I would say it with a little less confidence mm-hmm. than you did.
See, where is the point in the season where we get to decide, you know, what a team is? In baseball, it takes about 50 games for managers to understand, okay, this is what I got and this is what we can do.
Yeah.
We're almost a quarter of the way through the season. Does it take four games to go, okay, this is what they are? Is it a constant, you know, evolution of teams to where, okay, they were this in week 1-4, but all of a sudden through, you know, 4-10, they're a different team, and now, you know, when do we know what the Seahawks are?
We gotta wait. I think we're a ways out till we know. But if we see them start slipping and losing a couple more games, I mean, Tennessee, we gotta give credit to where credit is due. Tennessee is a good team. They are gonna challenge the Buccaneers. Sorry, not the Buccaneers, but they're going to challenge, you know, everybody in the AFC South, Houston especially, and even Jacksonville for that matter, for that division. But it, like, going back to the discipline issue, an NFL coach can only do so much. In college, they have a little more say, but these are grown men that they're coaching, and we talked about it in the break. You build character based on who you sign. And the Hawks, based on who they have signed, who they have drafted, have shown that, you know, discipline, I would say, is not their number one priority. It's more so talent and what you can do for me. But
well, then here, I'll ask you this question. Why is Bill Belichick able to control, might not be the right word, but foster a culture where you never hear anything negative surrounding that organization? Is that going back to who they signed? Because they've had LeGarrette Blount in the past. I don't know if he's still there, but I watched LeGarrette Blount knock out some Boise State player after a game in college. Like, I heard no problems with LeGarrette Blount. Like, why are certain head coaches and organizations able to foster a culture where football is the most important thing to each player?
I guess the way I would answer that,
I mean, they have Rob Gronkowski as well, whose brand is the party boy, big tight end who scores touchdowns and spikes a football. He's never in trouble.
And I guess we have always, we're talking about players that they have signed now. Maybe now I would have to go back and look at the rosters of, you know, their first Super Bowl teams and things like that. But Belichick, through those first couple years, was able to create a culture of, you gotta, you know, do your job and especially perform on Sundays within those first two Super Bowls. And I think that could have had something to do with the way they were able to sign and establish their way of doing things early on with, as the Seahawks, it has been, you know, more recent success, especially with Pete Carroll. Like I said, he's a player's coach. So when he first came to Seattle, within those first couple of years, he didn't really establish himself as a, you know, a disciplinarian. We're going to do things my way, where he gives players more freedom. And then I think that's just what you can expect from these Hawks is they're going to be, Pete Carroll's going to allow them to play free. So I guess, like I said, some of it does fall on the coach, but I think more so it falls on who you're signing.
Mm. Seth, you got anything to add to this? Because I'm just, one of my questions for you, DJ, would be maybe answering a little bit, but, you know, define a player's coach. You are a current player. What is a player's coach? What does that mean? That means that, you know, players get to do whatever they want. Seth, you can go ahead and talk right now, but DJ, chew on that one and then come back to me as what a player's coach is, because I'm a half athlete. I can't understand. You might be able to help us out, but what does that mean?
Yeah. Well, I think Brady runs, Belichick runs a little different ship than Carroll does. Mm-hmm. He strikes me as a no-nonsense guy. You'll never see him smiling, even when he wins the Super Bowl. But, so I think it's a little different where if your name's not Brady, then you're expendable to Belichick. Whereas Pete Carroll isn't so intolerant of players' personality.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great point. You brought up the fact of a player's coach. To me, a player's coach is someone who gives the players more freedom than a typical regular coach does, and lets them be who they are. If they want to talk, they can talk. If they don't want to, that's fine too. But you have more freedom within a player's coach to do what you want, say what you want, as opposed to a guy like Belichick, who's a no-nonsense guy. And Seth brought up a good point. Players, except for Brady, on that team are expendable. If you don't, then he has a record of just letting you go. And the Hawks have not been that way. They are willing to re-sign people if they have, you know, put in a good career or something like that. So I think Seth hit it right on the head with Belichick being more of a disciplinarian and Pete Carroll being more of a player's coach and letting his players have more freedom within their system.
Good or bad thing, it's worked out, I'm going to say, to both ends of the spectrum for the Seattle Seahawks and that type of culture that their organization experiences. All right, it's time for another short break. When we come back, what do you guys want to do? You guys want to talk more Seahawks? You guys want to talk a little University of Washington football?
Let's go college football.
You want to go college football, says the college football player. All right, that sounds good to me. Don't go anywhere. You heard it. We'll be talking a little UW Huskies football. This is Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio.
Welcome to my block party. Glad you can make it.
The only triple-doubles you get come with fries.
Last time you blocked someone, you were online.
I can do this all day. Your moves are just gay.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere.
It's not creative, it's offensive to gay people.
And you're better than that.
Welcome back to Half Athlete Radio on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I'm PLU's half athlete, joined by a member of the PLU football team and DJ Winter, as well as our new co-host, Seth Bershing. So it's been a fun show so far. If you want to add anything to it, you can call us at 253-535-7332. Once again, 253-535-7332. You want to re-listen to this show, you can do it at massmedia.plu.edu. We're underneath the sports tab this year, underneath sports podcasts. That's where you can check that out, as well as on YouTube. You can go to Half Athlete Radio on YouTube. Go ahead, subscribe to that page. You can check highlights from high school football broadcasts that I do over the weekend. You can relive, listen to clips from this show, and some other fun stuff is on there as well. So right now we're going to take a couple minutes just to talk about the University of Washington football team. I think they're still at about number 6 in the AP polls. They played Colorado over the weekend, and I got to the game at about halftime. Like I said, I'd gone to the fair, got to the game at about halftime, and it was somewhat close, and then UW kind of broke it open.
Yeah. Well, the first half, really, the Dogs struggled across the board, and you did tune in at a good time because they really did pull away in that second half. Some highlights from the game, Miles Gaskin had 27 attempts for 202 yards. Jake Browning was 11 for 21, 160 yards, one touchdown to one interception. So, you know, like I said last week, this game was going to be a real test for the Dogs. With that being, Colorado made it to the Pac-12 championship last year, and the Dogs were able to handle them. But, you know, every year is a new year. Dogs sent a bunch of guys to the NFL, graduated a bunch of people, so they had some turnover. But that defense came out and showed up again. They did
lose Chico McClatcher, though, to injury, which I was just about to say. A little frustrating.
Disappointing news was the loss of Chico. I had the pleasure of playing against him in high school. That dude is a freak, super fast, super quick, and he was slated to be kind of that number two guy behind Dante Pettis. He is still eligible for a redshirt this season, so that would be able to retain him for another year if they decide to use that. But going forward, like you said, the Dogs are ranked number six right now nationally in the AP poll. The Pac-12 is doing pretty well. They got four teams within the top 25. USC number five, UW number six. Wazoo is number 16. They have a big matchup against USC.
It should be a fun
this
one.
Friday night at 7:30. And then Utah comes in at 20th. Coming up next for the Dogs, they got Oregon State on the road. Should be a little bit of an easier game.
Should be a cakewalk.
Yes, should be a little bit of an easier game. Oregon State has been down in recent years, so they should take care of business down there if they don't beat themselves. One thing that will be interesting going forward is, like we said, UW kind of pulled away and gained momentum, but it would have been interesting to see what would have happened if they did not gain that momentum, and it kind of would have became really a slugfest at that point, because Colorado really, they beat themselves. They had three turnovers, and the Dogs capitalized on every single one of those, I'm pretty sure. So, you know, it's still exciting. It's conference play is upon us, and that's really when everything happens.
It should be fun to follow the Huskies throughout the rest of the regular season. Seth, you got anything to add to this?
I'm a little disappointed that they don't get USC this year in the regular season. That's one of the two Pac-12 teams that they don't get to play. I would assume that that's who they'll be playing in the Pac-12 championship should both those teams stay on their current courses. I'm not terribly surprised that they struggled a little bit in the first half in Colorado. Colorado is a tough team. They're well coached. And the thin air is always really hard to play in up there.
Good point. Yeah, I don't think the Huskies will be tested towards the second half of the season. I mean, like you said, they got Oregon State this weekend and then another. I don't know the schedule exactly, but I know that it's soft until they get to Stanford about a month or so from now. So.
Yeah, and that Stanford game going down the stretch, I think they play Oregon, Stanford. They have an off game, if you will, and then they got Wazoo.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it will start to get more interesting towards the end of the year. Looking ahead to that Pac-12 championship, I don't know if USC is going to be in there because they haven't looked very good against teams that they have played so far. So that'll be an interesting story going forward to see how USC finishes.
It'll be fun to watch moving forward. All right, we got to wrap today's show up. I thought it was a really good one. We talked about some quotes made by the president on Friday. Then we moved on to the Mariners and told them to rest in peace because they're done for the year. Talked a little Seahawks. Talked about the culture that surrounds the Seahawks. I think it's only in question because they're losing right now. Once they get back on track, they'll get it figured out. And again, some more UW football talk. If you want to hear more sports talk just like today's show on Laser, you can do that on Friday mornings. HNC Sports gets your day started at 10:30 a.m. That's Heine and Carson Barnett. They talk a lot of sports. They talk a lot of football. If you're a big football fan, both are football guys here at POU. So check them out on Friday morning at 10:30 here on Laser. Then moving on in the afternoon at 2 p.m., you can tune into What's the Big Deal. Dylan Foreman, Sarah Kornow-Meyer, and Zach Goff. That's their show. Pretty entertaining stuff. They have good chemistry amongst the three of them already. They're fun to listen to. So you really need to tune in and check out that show. But for Half Athlete Radio, my name is Christian Bond. For DJ Winter and Seth Bershing, we're out of here. See ya.